It's All About Food with Karen Hartglass, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me today, and we have a very fresh show today. We're going to be speaking about a really fun, delicious topic, raw food, and I have a special guest, Annie Fio. She's back. We talked with her about a year ago, but she's got a great new book out called Annie's Raw Food Essentials. She's the host of the award-winning, most popular uncooking show on YouTube, Annie's Raw Food Kitchen Show, and is the author of the internationally acclaimed bestseller, Annie's Raw Food Kitchen, Easy, Delectable Living Food Recipes, and Annie's Raw Food Desserts. She inspires global audiences with her fast, easy, delicious, healthy recipes and eco-green lifestyle. And before I bring her on, I just wanted to say that this is a live call-in show. The number is 1-888-874-4888. And you can always send me an email with comments and questions anytime during the show or afterwards at info@realmeals.org. info@realmeals.org. Now, let me welcome Annie Fio. Annie, how are you?
Hi, Karen. I'm great. Hi. It's so wonderful to be back with you again.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm really, really excited about your new book. It's absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
And I'm kind of blown away by some of the pictures and recipes, some of the things that you've done. It's really, it's just amazing what you can do with raw food. So we're going to talk a lot about that today.
Okay. I know, it's so fun. It's so creative.
Well, you know, I've been cooking all my life and know all the standards, and it's just so much fun that you can make so many things that look like what we're used to when we cook and when we bake without cooking and baking. It just tickles me. It's just fun.
Absolutely. It's like alchemy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like really understanding what the texture is that we're trying to achieve and then what the flavors are. Mm-hmm. And then figuring out what the herbs and spices need to be to add into the recipe to make that flavor taste that way.
So you're traveling around on a book tour with your new book?
Yes.
I've seen a lot of different events that you're having. How is it going and where are you going and how are the people responding?
Oh, the people have been lovely. Everyone's been responding amazing. And right now I'm in Florida. I'm in Fort Lauderdale. I did a couple events yesterday in West Palm Beach and Lake Worth. I've been, and then a few days before that, Sarasota. And then my final event is going to be on Sunday in Naples. And before that, I was in San Francisco, where I was at the Ferry Building Farmers Market. I was invited.
That's a great place.
Yes.
A great place for food. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that farmer's market is just incredible.
Yeah. Did you see the mushrooms there?
I saw lots of mushrooms.
Yeah, there's one place that just has these most beautiful, large, just incredible mushrooms. I've never seen more beautiful ones than at the Ferry Building.
I know. They have a lot of heirloom varieties that may just be in season for 1 week. And so you see it that week and then no more. And so I even saw like a lot of different varieties of squashes and things I'd never seen before. So yeah, it was a really amazing farmer's market. And then I even got invited to YouTube Google, where they had 6 of my recipes on campus at their cafe.
Wow.
And yeah, that was pretty incredible. Google's such a great company. And you know, YouTube, I talked with them and I just love them so much because YouTube is really, I think, what launched my visibility, you know, because in the very beginning, I put all my videos up on YouTube and it hits a global audience. Mm-hmm. And so that's just such a great tool for helping to share information and knowledge.
Well, if you want it, it's out there.
Yes, it is.
The question is, I know you talk to a lot of people. I do too, and I find people are always fascinated and interested to hear about food. But there's always this step of actually doing it.
Yes, of making the food?
Making the food and
tasting it.
And, yeah, just finding ways. You know, a lot of people have this struggle where they want to do it, they want to eat better, they want to eat more healthfully, and you help them along the way. And we're going to talk about some of the real helpful tips in your book in a minute, but so many people just find the difficulty in finding the motivation to get to that place, to get
yeah.
in the kitchen, make the food, do the shopping, do the preparation.
Right. That's why I was sort of hoping that with Annie's Raw Food Essentials, mm-hmm. I really wanted to demystify, because there's this image that in order to be healthy, it needs to cost a lot of money and it needs to take a lot of time and it needs to be complex. And so, you know, by using just two simple tools, a blender and a food processor simply just speeds up our ability to chop things up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like 2 seconds, it chops up everything for us instead of having to hand chop. And so that's sort of where I'm coming from. I just use maybe a handful of ingredients. Some of the recipes are only like 2 or 3 ingredients.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and you just process it, and it's done. So things like salsas, guacamoles, gazpacho, those are all already raw anyway. So it's not really that big of a stretch. And we're coming into summer now where it's warmer, and people are wanting to eat a little bit lighter and fresher. So, yeah, so that's why I wanted to – that was sort of the goal of the book. I wanted to show people how accessible it is to eat healthier.
Okay, well, clearly this your publishers knew the right time to bring the book out, because this is, like you said, the time when people are more interested or naturally will go to foods that aren't cooked because the weather's getting hotter. And
all
year round in Florida, certainly people are interested in these kinds of foods.
Yes.
But – yeah, and it's a good time to get into it because of the variety and the abundance and the heat.
Yeah, definitely. And then also we want to look better in our bikinis. It's like the ultimate.
Right.
Yes, it's the ultimate cleansing, detoxing diet. It helps us lose weight without even trying, you know, because
mm-hmm.
we're filling up on water and fiber, basically. And so, you know, we're filling our bodies with nutrient-rich foods, so then we have all these vitamins and minerals that, you know, makes us healthier, stronger from the inside out, clears up our skin. You know, we're eliminating a lot of the allergens, so inflammation goes away, and so then we get tighter and we lose weight naturally.
I want to go through the whole book and touch on a number of things that I really enjoyed, but I just wanted to mention what you talked about when you were at the, I think it was the San Francisco Ferry Building, the thing about heirloom and varieties and things being in season for a short amount of time. That's one of the things that's really fun about the food that we eat, especially when we're supporting heirloom varieties and diversity. It's always exciting. You look forward to the seasons. You look forward to the foods that you haven't had in a while. And the ones that are in season at that moment are just delightful and exciting.
Absolutely. And we actually get the most for our money at that point, because when
right.
we eat food that is at the peak of the season, it's packed full of flavor and the nutritional profile is at its highest.
Mm-hmm.
So if we think about like an heirloom tomato as opposed to one that has traveled, you know, 1,500 miles from the farm
mm-hmm.
gate to our table, you know, it's been picked green and has to, because it has to be shipped, has to be packaged, it has to be shipped all the way to the warehouse. It gets stored there at the distribution center. From there, it goes out to the stores and it's sits there until we're able to go to the store and then bring it home with us. So that's like a long lead time, you know, as
yeah.
opposed to when something is local and seasonal. I just love farmers markets. So it'll be harvested just a couple hours prior. And actually, when we did our event in Sarasota, we went to a rooftop garden that was in an industrial
mm-hmm.
area on
mm-hmm.
top of a warehouse. And we harvested like 2 or 3 hours before our event. We went and picked strawberries, cabbage, herbs, and nasturtium flowers. It was really incredible
mm-hmm.
to just go and like
mm-hmm.
harvest everything right then. So when we're picking, you know, the produce a few hours before we eat it or right away and then eating it, it's just full of so much more vitality, you know, so many more vitamins and nutrients and things that are really good for us. It's like liquid sunshine. That's what I call it, liquid sunshine.
You know, we're really very fortunate and also very spoiled in that we can basically, most of us that are living in most parts of the United States, especially where I am in New York, we have access to anything we want at any time. And and that kind of, like a spoiled child, makes us not delighted with things as we should be. We take everything for granted. And that's why I love this farmers market concept and eating in season and really looking forward to the foods when it's their time.
Absolutely. And then beyond that, too, it's like, you know, we're keeping our money in our local community, supporting the farmers who are actually feeding us, you know, providing us with these great nourishing foods. And, yeah, and then also saving our environment because we're not using a lot of resources for packaging and then shipping and even gassing our produce along
right.
the way.
Oh, gosh, you know, that's another thing that I love about so many vegetables and especially fruits. Many of them come in their own packaging. A papaya. You could put a papaya in a bag and take it with you all around until you're ready to open it up and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need a plastic bag. It doesn't need anything.
Exactly. Carrots. Like when I'm flying around, you know, like when I was flying all the way to Florida across the country, I had carrots in my bag. Carrots don't get smushed.
Right.
You know, they travel really well. They can
stay
out of refrigeration. And I'm eating apples and carrots, you know, and they're providing me with water because I'm getting dehydrated on the plane.
Absolutely.
And they make a really great travel food for sure.
Right. So think about those things, people, when you're traveling. It's really easy. It's not difficult.
Yeah, and it's actually way cheaper. I saved a lot of money. You know, like having to buy, like, sandwiches or whatever they have at the airport, they're quite expensive, right?
Right, and they're just disgusting.
Yeah. And, I know.
And even if you want to buy the few fruits that they might have, they usually have bananas that aren't ripe and apples that are pithy. Very expensive. So definitely. And you can actually, at least when you're traveling within domestically, you can travel with those kinds of foods. They're not considered water, where they don't let you pass through with the security with them. Carrots and apples can go through.
Exactly. And it's actually better water because produce and plants distill water for us with mineral-rich water from the earth, from the soil, and it distills it and then deposits it into the produce, which is living water. So in nature, water is never stagnant, it's never still, and it's never contained in a plastic bottle. So beyond the plastic leaching chemicals into our water, water is never sealed off like that and isolated inside of a synthetic container. And so that water is not like as vibrant, it's not living as the water is in produce.
Really, really good point. And that's why I know you mentioned water in your book a few times because, okay, there are some dehydrated treats in your book.
Yes, there are.
But it is really important to eat a lot of food fresh that has water in it.
Absolutely. Everyone, most people in our country are dehydrated. You know, one of my friends was saying, oh, I always have headaches. And I'm like, well, have you tried to drink some water? Or, you know, usually when we have a headache or when we're feeling a little bit tired, if we drink some water, it'll fix it. You know,
right.
Like
yeah,
we're
no,
just
some
dehydrated.
You're right. Some of the simplest little ailments, like you said, headaches. Another one of my favorites is when people say they're tired. The first thing I say is, do you sleep? Do you sleep enough? Something so simple, and yet so many people don't. And that's one of the reasons why they're tired. So water, good food, sleep. It's not rocket science.
Exactly. And it is crazy because, you know, we mask our being tired. We wake up because we haven't had enough rest, and then we drink more coffee, which then tricks our body into thinking we have energy when our battery is actually running on red. You know, it's like in the low zone, so it's already depleted. And then we drink coffee to have fake energy, and then we deplete ourselves even more. So, you know, through raw foods, which are really nutrient-rich and nutrient-dense, we're actually providing our body with nourishment in a form that is easy to digest, so it's not depleting the body, it's not taking energy from the body. It's actually giving us energy and helping us regenerate and restore ourselves. So that's why I know that raw foods is really, really great for energizing. Because I realize that because, you know, after Thanksgiving dinner, we feel lethargic and tired, and I always thought, I'm like, well, it's like fueling. So if we're fueling ourselves with rocket fuel as opposed to like a low-grade watered-down unleaded or something like that, then shouldn't we feel energized after we eat? Isn't the idea of fueling our bodies to feel more energetic after? So it just seems really weird that, you know, after we eat like a heavy meal, we feel so tired. But we feel that tired because we're depleting our body. We're putting, you know, food in our body that takes energy from the body. The body has to work so hard to break it down, digest it, trying to pull nutrients out of it when maybe there's not a lot of nutrition in the food, and then it has to then eliminate that food. And so I'm all about putting things in my body that's going to give me energy and provide nourishment.
It's funny you mentioned fuel because so many people will buy the more expensive gasolines for their
yes.
car to take care
yes.
of their car, but they won't do it for their own bodies.
Yes, exactly. And then we're also taught how to, we're taught how to clean our rooms when we're little. We're taught how to wash our clothes, clean our cars, clean our house. We're never taught internal personal hygiene. So, you know, raw foods are literally fiber and water. You know, water is made out of oxygen and hydrogen. Oxygen has already been shown that cancer can exist in a highly oxygenated environment.
Mm-hmm.
So besides that being healthy, it's like the fiber is a broom. It sweeps through our system. And then the water is like a hose. It hoses a sweep. So from the inside, it's personal hygiene from the inside out. And the analogy I like to use is like a kitchen sink. So if our kitchen sink has dishes from the entire week that are piled up and it's all dirty, then you're going to bet there's going to be gnats and flies and bugs because it's dirty dishes in the sink. Whereas if we clean our dishes all the time and don't leave anything dirty in the sink, there's not going to be any rodents or creatures because there's nothing for them to thrive off of. Same with our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same with our bodies. If our bodies are clean on the inside, the virus, the fungus, the bacteria, all that stuff has nothing to feed off of. It'll go someplace else.
I love the analogies. And another kitchen sink analogy that I like to use is when you're preparing food from simple fruits and vegetables, the cleanup. You never even have to use soap. It's just a little warm water and everything is clean. Whereas if you're using a lot of meat and dairy, those things are real, and cooking them especially, the cleanup is horrendous. So just imagine what that stuff looks like in your body.
Yeah, exactly. And I always like to point out, too, like flour. Do you remember we used to mix flour with water to make paper mache? Or we used it, we mixed that together to create paste to put posters onto a construction site.
Right?
So it just places a lot of stress on the body to have to, you know, work through all that paste inside. So I'm not saying don't eat it ever. I'm just saying it's important to be aware of it. So when you eat it, appreciate it, enjoy it, give thanks that we have this food to eat, but just also be aware that it is placing stress on the body, so then we may want to offset it by having a beautiful large green salad.
Yum.
Give our body a break.
Okay, so while we're talking about cleansing the body, at the beginning of your book, you put in a bunch of non-toxic cleansers, and I love this. I use these things all the time, and people really need to know about this. You talk about vinegar and baking soda and water, and these things are so gentle on the environment. They're perfect cleaners. They're inexpensive.
Yes, and also that's part of, like, environmental stress comes from things, toxins in our environment. And so as we inhale these, like, when we go into a grocery store, we can tell when we're approaching the cleanser aisle, because even though those cleansers are packaged and sealed, they're outgassing through the packaging, so we can smell it.
Those horrible, unnatural perfumes.
Yeah. And so a lot of them create illness in the body. They create allergies and irritation and even other things. Some are combustible. They'll explode. So ammonias and stuff like that. So if we have that under our kitchen sink or under our bathroom sink, those toxic poisons are in our environment, and they're outgassing, and we absorb them in through our breath, through breathing, or even through our skin. So it's really important to eliminate all of those toxic cleansers and instead, making your own. So I like to make things out of things we can eat because they're healthy. So glass cleaners using vinegar and maybe some, you know, some eco liquid soap and some water, or just vinegar and water. All-purpose cleansers like baking soda works really great because it's like gritty as a scrub. You know, tea tree oil works great to combat mold. You know, things like that work really, really wonderful instead of having these poisonous toxins
in
our environment.
Well, it's great because they're very simple and you don't need 100 different products for different purposes that are going to take up a ton of room under the sink or in your cabinet. You don't have to worry about kids getting into these things. These are really gentle, simple things, and they work. I remember cleaning the bathroom maybe a couple of decades ago with Pilex, and a really scary product. You don't want to be breathing it because it burns, it stinks. It's really horrible. And
you're usually spraying it in like a closed environment too. Like, oh, you're spraying it and then you're inhaling it. Yeah, so toxic.
Right.
I feel bad for all the cleaning people.
Oh, God, yeah. But baking powder, just baking powder and water is a perfect scrubber for a bathtub.
Exactly.
Yeah. So thank you for mentioning that, even though that's not necessarily food. It's definitely something people need to read and see more about.
Okay. Yes, because I'm promoting, I really like to think, well, what I like to promote is longevity and overall well-being and health and happiness. So by decreasing stress overall, it means that we're placing less, you know, stress on our bodies so it can last longer, so we can live longer and live a better quality life longer without getting sick. And so things like toxins come in through things we put on our skin, let's say, you know, beauty products or moisturizers that have, you know, parabens that are used to, as a preservative. You know, our skin is our largest organ, so if we put that stuff on our skin, it's the same as drinking it or eating it. You know, people don't really realize that. We already have toxins in the pollution in the air. You know, we inhale that. We can't really control that. You know, it's in the air unless we don't breathe or something. And then even in our water, there's chemicals in the water like chlorine and stuff. And then when we take a shower, the steam, we're inhaling that, plus the shower is hitting our skin and going through our skin. In time, you know, little bits of that, being exposed to that every day, over time, over years or whatever, it all adds up. It adds to the toxic load in our body. And I'm all about decreasing toxins in our body.
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up. I just want to repeat it. The skin is the largest organ, and people forget that it's an organ and that it's not just, you know, some giant thing of saran wrap wrapping everything up. It's a living, breathing organ, and it can take in good things and it can take in bad things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you have this wonderful recipe for, like, exfoliating mask made of fruits.
Yeah. Because there's alpha hydroxys in different fruits, like with natural fruit enzymes like papayas and pineapples. So, yeah, putting those things on our skin, even like mashing up banana or mashing up avocado is really great, too, as moisturizers.
And, you know, there's so many expensive, sophisticated products out there. And okay, some of them might be good, but a large majority of them, if you read the labels, just like reading labels for food, they're full of ingredients that you can't pronounce, that you don't understand, and really aren't good for you, and yet you're spending a fortune on them.
Exactly. And a lot of them have things added in, like vitamin C. So then we think, well, what would happen if I was to apply the vitamin C from the inside out?
In
so
its natural form.
Yeah, so I eat a lot of oranges, let's say, or goji berries, actually, that have a lot of vitamin C. And so I eat that. I'm coating it on myself from the inside out. And since our skin is our largest organ, it reflects the state of our whole being. So I say, you know, clear, radiant skin is a reflection of our inner health coming through the skin.
Well, you're looking pretty good. If anyone takes a look at your book and sees the pictures of you in, or checks out your website, which is, I'm going to spell it, anniphyo.com, A-N-I-P-H-Y-O.com, you can see how really lovely you look. So
Aww, you're walking the walk,
and it shows.
Aw, thank you.
Well, you know, I really think we all need to promote each other, and every time I get together with a group of vegans, it shows.
Yeah, and again, it's because we're placing less stress on our bodies. So I like to think of stressors in four different categories. We have, like, physical stress, which comes from, let's say, exercise, which is actually good for us. And then, you know, there's environmental stress, which I just talked about, polluted air or outgassing of toxins in our environment. And then there's emotional stress. So, you know, we all have to work. We all have family commitments. That's a form of emotional stress, which we can try and mitigate through breath work or meditation to some degree. And then there's nutritional stress. So if each of those four type of stressors take up a quadrant in a total, sum total pie, we're each pre-programmed. Like the size of the pie is pre-programmed, I believe, into each person. So if each quarter is filled with those four stressors, we can decrease the nutritional stress by choosing what we put into our body. So by putting more nutrient-rich foods that are easier to digest and break down and absorb, that are more beneficial to our bodies, if we're eating that as opposed to the papier-mâché type of paste, you know, that's placing more stress on our body, then that just means we open up more space to take on more of the other stressors before we get sick.
Right.
Because once that pie is full, that's when we get sick, when we get run down and overtired and sick.
So another thing I like that you mentioned early on in your book, to relieve the stress, you know, some people recognize the value of a healthy diet, and then maybe they'll want to be 100% raw. which for a lot of people is extremely challenging. And so you talk about that and say, you know, you don't have to be. You do the best you can. Don't stress yourself. Do what works for you. That's so important.
Yeah, I'm all about decreasing overall stress. So I used to be really extreme for over 8 years, but I found that it was actually working against me because I was so concerned about little minutia details. You know, I still consider myself 100% raw today, but I don't really label myself that way. So I've completely lifted that whole pressure of, number one, having to be perfect. Who wants to be perfect anyway, right? And instead, I approach everything with an attitude of gratitude because we are so blessed in this country. We're so blessed that we have such a huge food supply, that we have this information to consciously choose what we want to eat or what we don't want to eat, that we have a choice to decline something maybe because it's not vegan, maybe because it's not organic. You know, we have to remember that there's people on the planet starving to death. You know, we're really blessed in this country. We're very lucky. And so coming from that viewpoint and then also loving ourselves, you know, so not being so hard on ourselves and really focusing on being happier. Because I realize that well-being and longevity, there's many more things in the equation beyond just what we eat. You know, it's like how we interact in our world, how we treat other living beings, how the relationships are, the developing nurturing relationships with friends and community and family, you know, doing things that make us happy, being physical, exercising, stretching, you know, of course, eating clean food, drinking clean water, breathing clean air, but also, you know, giving back to our community, being generous with our time and with our knowledge, helping other people. So all those things together are what I think creates well-being and happiness, feeling connected to everything around us. And so it's not just the nutrition, it's not just the food, although eating the right nourishment provides nutrients for our brain so that our brain can then orchestrate all the trillions of cells in our body to function optimally, to fight disease and to boost our immune system and to be really healthy and strong. You know, when we do fuel our bodies with cleaner rocket fuel, we feel better. So then it's easier to be happier because when you feel good, you feel happier.
Don't sweat the small stuff.
Exactly. So I feel like happiness is actually the reflection of our inner health, is happiness.
Well, a couple of things I feel about the raw food diet. Number one is from a scientific point of view, we have not figured out if there is indeed an ideal diet. That has not been determined. What has been determined is that a diet based primarily in plant foods and very little, if any, foods is best, and that raw food indeed, at least 50%, if not more, is essential in the diet. You know, other than that, we really haven't proven anything, and okay. But the good thing about the raw food diet, a number of things, is certainly we need a lot of raw food in for the nutrients that we get, but also it's a great way to get off of some of the crap that people eat. The raw food desserts made from just simple fruits and nuts are so rich and so satisfying and so easy. And so, you know, when people have a sweet tooth, if they go with a raw food dessert, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it's guilt-free, you know, because I who doesn't love sweets? I love cookies and biscuits and
cakes. You can have dessert for breakfast when it's raw.
Exactly, and it's totally guilt-free. I used to have to go running for like an hour and a half or 2 hours because I feel so guilty after eating a huge slice of cake, cooked cake. You know, but now it's like, what, this cake dessert is made out of FDA superfoods? It's made out of nuts and seeds and fruit? So it has vitamins and minerals and enzymes and all these great ingredients that are actually good for me. You know, there's no fillers, there's no sugar, butter, eggs, cream, none of that stuff. So it's like no flour. So it's like really healthy, and it is. You can have your cake and eat it too.
Okay, well, I want to talk a lot more about your book, but we are going to take a very quick break. So please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Radio Network, information for the independent mind.
Hello,
I'm Carol Brier, host of Community Currency on Progressive Radio Network every Thursday, 5 to 6 p.m. Please join us as we connect people, ideas, important information, and discover solutions to some of the most urgent problems facing us. Every Thursday, 5 to 6 p.m., Community Currency on Progressive Radio Network.
This is Peter Roth, the host of Energy Stew, which airs on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. My show interviews fascinating authors, inventors, and researchers of new understandings, techniques, and discoveries that can enhance and transform our lives. What is our potential and how can we fulfill it to the max? To find out, tune in to Energy Stew and Peter Roth at 8 p.m. Thursdays on Progressive Radio Network.
I'm Elaine Schnepfe, host producer of Evolving Ideas. Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and global on the Internet. Join me each week on the Progressive Radio Network to explore the universe and our relationship to it.
Do you have a medical question or concern and would like to get a second opinion? If so, make sure you tune in to Second Opinion with Dr. Ronald Klatz. Dr. Klatz is president and founder of the AFREM, American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, the largest physician-based anti-aging organization in the world. Each week, Dr. Klatz will talk with expert guests from the field of anti-aging, functional, and regenerative medicine. So if you want to live a longer, healthier life, tune in to Second Opinion with Dr. Klatz, Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, here on PRN.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Because it is. It's all about food. Everything. Everything that touches us in our lives, our health, the environment. Everything is related to food and connected to food, and we can make such a tremendous difference in our lives by making really sensible food choices. So today we're talking with Annie Fio, and she has a new book out called Annie's Raw Food Essentials. We're talking about them now. And Annie, you're
yes,
with?
Hello.
And you've got a website, anniefio.com. AnniePhyo.com. Where are you heading to next?
I guess my last event here in Florida is in Naples on Sunday, and then I think, and then I have several events in the Orange County, San Diego, and Los Angeles area, and then mid-July I'm going to Oklahoma City to 105 Degrees Restaurant and Academy. It's the only accredited raw food academy. It's the first one and the only one, and it's run by Matthew Kenny. Yes, and so yeah. They are, him and his partner Dara Prentice are, I'm so honored that they're throwing a two-day celebration for Annie's Raw Food Essentials at their academy and restaurant. So July 13th is a public class where I'll be, you know, teaching several recipes, probably four or five recipes, and then in the evening, and then on the 14th, which is a Wednesday of July, I'm going to be speaking to the academy, and then in the evening, I've proposed a whole junk food-based menu to Matthew, and then he's going to put his magic touches on it because his food style is so high-end and really beautiful, and then he's going to hand that over to the kitchen, and then they're going to put their magic touches on it, and there's going to be like a big dinner with book signing on the evening of the 14th of July.
That's really exciting. I have a friend who went through their training, their first training course out there. And it's just interesting that that's where they're doing it, because I can't imagine that there's a big raw food following out there in Oklahoma.
What's so funny, though, is that they're doing really well, I think, because there's no other options there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have really been craving whole food and fresh food, and so they're doing really well, I think, because there isn't anything else, you know, offered in that area.
Right.
And then, you know, they've been getting really great press and media. I think because people are like, what, Oklahoma City? Yeah, so it's really wonderful. And then by the end of July, I'll be in upstate New York. I'm doing some fundraising stuff with Farm Sanctuary for their the annual hoedown. And then I had several events in Connecticut and New York and New Jersey, that area, early August.
Yeah. Well, this is New York is definitely a great place for food.
Oh, of course.
And I wanted to say, if you were ever in New York and you came to my kitchen, I think you'd feel right at home. I'm looking at the tools and ingredients that you list in your book, and I was kind of grading myself based on what I had in my kitchen, and I think I did very well in terms of what I've got.
Oh, great. I'll have to come check out your kitchen. I'd love
to. I was patting myself on the back.
Nice.
As you mentioned before, the essentials, I've got some funny things happening with my phone right now. Sorry about that.
Okay.
The essentials are a food processor and a high-speed blender, and you can't live without those.
Yes, I know. Some people, though, the high-speed blender can be a little bit expensive for people to just get right away. So there's definitely ways around it. So, you know, if people have a less powerful blender, one thing that they can do that I recommend is grinding. If you're making something with nuts, you can grind your nuts into a flour first using a grinder and then put it into your blender so that your blender doesn't place so much stress on the blender to break it down. And then that way you can get smoother textures that have less chunks in them. And then you can also blend by putting less water in first, really blending it to a cream and then gradually adding more water. So there's little tips and tricks for still being able to try and get a smoother consistency without the perfect tools.
Mm. There are some fun things in here that I just wanted to mention. I don't use it very often, but the spiralizer.
Oh, I love that.
It's really fun because you can make like angel hair pasta.
Yes.
Zucchini or butternut squash.
Yes. It's wonderful because then you don't have the flour. You don't have all those starches and carbs. And, you know, like when people want to lose weight, that's what they cut out is all the breads and the pastas and all that. And when you use zucchini and then you spiralize it, the shape is just like angel hair pasta. And because zucchini is soft, it has the mouthfeel of pasta, and it doesn't really have a strong flavor. And then when you toss it in a fresh marinara, then it carries the flavor of that marinara. And so, again, it's about mouthfeel. So the shape of the noodles is really simulating an angel hair mouthfeel, and then the flavors of the marinara with all the fresh herbs like the oregano and the rosemary and the basil, it really makes it pop with flavor.
Right.
It's such a fun tool.
So, and everything else in here, well, people can definitely check out the book and see what they've got and what they might need, but it's a really good list and good explanation, so I thank you for doing that.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so do you have any favorite recipes in here?
Oh, that's always such a hard question.
I know.
All of them?
Yeah,
I have
that's
to say.
A good answer.
I have to say, though, lately I've been on a real probiotic kick. And I think that probiotics are entering our media more and more. And I'm noticing, too, a real skyrocketing of probiotic supplements, you know, probiotics that come in tablet capsule form and, you know, even the explosion of kombucha, which is a fermented drink. And people, I think, are realizing that because we've taken so many antibiotics really kill off all of our intestinal flora. You know, it can't differentiate good bacteria from bad bacteria. So it damages all of our bacteria, and we need to replenish that with fermented foods and drinks. And so for me, being of Korean heritage and ethnic background, my Korean background, we use kimchi and pickled vegetables, which are high in probiotics. Things like miso is also a living fermented food too, and so that has probiotics. And so we get it in our culture from our foods, but in America we don't really have much more than maybe yogurt. I guess sauerkraut comes from Germany, but you know, yogurt doesn't really have a wide spectrum of lots of different powerful bacteria. So what I've been doing lately is I brew my own kefir. People say it differently. But I'll brew it either with, you know, coconut water or just with dehydrated cane juice in water. And I'll put some pears and ginger in there because it needs both sucrose and fructose. But what you put in there is a living culture that they call a water grain. And it's a living culture, and you buy it once. And I have it in the back of my resources for two websites where you could order it. It costs maybe like $10 to $20. That includes shipping. And once you buy it, it just keeps expanding and expanding. It grows. It's like a little pet. So whenever I travel, I have to leave it with my family or a friend to take care of, because you have to feed it sugar, you know, every day so that it keeps growing and thriving. And it eats the sugar. It eats the sugar, which is wonderful. So it actually eats sugar out of our body as well.
Right.
So, yeah, and it really helps with digestion, which means, again, we have more energy when we eat. It helps with absorption of nutrients, and then it helps with elimination. And so I found it really, really valuable, and it's really hard for me to live without it. Even when I went to San Francisco, I took like a whole gallon jug with me. But of course, by the time I got on the airplane to come to Florida, I couldn't carry it with me anymore. But it really, really works well for me. So I have a recipe for that, and I have a recipe for kombucha, which takes maybe 2 weeks to brew. And then I have a recipe for Rejuvelac. As well.
Yeah, I was interested in reading these. I tried making Rejuvelac once, and it really didn't work for me. So I'm going to have to follow your recipe and see if I have any better luck.
Yeah, I don't really prefer the flavor. Like, even kombucha is a little bit vinegary for me, but I just love kefir. The kefir,
right,
or kefir, however you say it, I just love the flavor of it. It's just really palatable. It just tastes like a soda. So good.
Well, I'm going to look forward to trying that. And one of the things that I like about it is, yeah, definitely probiotics are getting a lot of press, and we realize the importance of them. But one of the problems when you buy them in the store, a lot of them aren't even live. They're dead.
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
You're taking them, and they're not even doing any good.
Yep, and they're expensive, and they've been processed. So that's what I always say, like, why would you want to eat something that's been manufactured and processed, packaged into these little capsules, put in a plastic bottle, and then shipped all around? So I always try and follow a general rule of thumb, which is I try to avoid things that have been processed by machines. You know,
yeah.
I want to always go direct to Mother Nature. Mother Nature knows best. And, you know, like the cultures that brew kombucha, that brew kefir, those cultures have been living for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So when we get one of those cultures, it comes off of the original culture that has been alive forever and ever, for a long time.
And in your book, in addition to these culture drinks, you have a lot of different suggestions for elixirs.
Yes.
And that's really fun, because people do like to drink. Now, some of them have white wine in them, but in general, they're just like healthy, delicious, colorful fruit combinations.
Yes. And so, yeah, so basically, like, you know, you could do things like muddle strawberries inside of kefir. So kefir is naturally effervescent. So it's sort of like a champagne. And so if you want to muddle like peaches or muddle strawberries in there, it makes a really great drink. And so instead of using white wine, you know, wine has resveratrol. So it has the antioxidant value.
Right, resveratrol.
You know,
sorry,
I said that wrong. I always say it wrong. But yeah. The kefir, you know, it's a digestive aid. So if you drink it with your meal, it helps with digestion and absorption of nutrients. And you drink it after, it also helps to digest everything you've eaten. But I also like to drink it right before bed on an empty stomach, and that's when it rebuilds all the healthy intestinal flora in my system.
Right. That's brilliant. And the thing is, you can serve these drinks in beautiful glasses and make them look really festive.
Yes.
Because part of the experience is what it looks like. And so when it looks fun, when it looks fresh, when it looks colorful, when it looks exciting, you know, it doesn't have to have the junk in it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And a lot of times, I mean, if you make this stuff and put it out at a potluck or at a dinner party, you know, if it's plated beautifully and it just tastes really good, because that's my goal. All of my recipes are delicious, you know, so they have to be delicious, because I never want anyone to feel deprived or tortured, you know, in any way, shape, or form. It's like people should choose to want to eat this food because it tastes delicious and because it makes them feel really good. So that's always the goal.
A lot of the recipes that I like are the ones that are really basic and simple. So, for example, one of my favorites that you have, I'm looking in the book to see exactly where it is because I remember reading it, is the Chinese chicken with salad.
Ah.
No, it's really good. And the chicken salad, Chinese chicken salad, is a really popular dish. And I think people like it so much because of the shredded cabbage that's in it. Not necessarily because of the chicken that's in it, and cabbage salads don't really get
at least in American culture, we don't use it very often.
Oh, we do, in coleslaw.
Well, sometimes it's the regular green cabbage. It's not always the Napa cabbage that's used in coleslaw.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, but right. Napa cabbage is great because it's a softer leaf, and it's easy to digest, or easier than the heavier, thicker leafed green cabbage. I just love it. And then when you combine it like you do with the sliced almonds, there's something that happens.
Yeah,
the combination is really amazing.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah, cabbage is really great. It's a very alkalinizing food. And so, you know, the more alkaline our pH is too, the less it can host virus and bacteria and fungus and all that illness and cancer and all that kind of stuff too. And yeah, so this Chinese chickenless salad is an example of really, I wanted to understand what is the flavor of Chinese chicken salad. And so really most of the flavor comes from, you know, vinegar, which is usually cooked vinegar. So I use apple cider vinegar, some soy sauce. So I use a raw soy sauce, a namashoyu, or if you are wheat sensitive, you might want to use Bragg liquid amino acids, and then it's really the toasted sesame oil. That's what's giving it the flavor, the sesame seeds and then the toasted sesame oil. So I know that the toasted sesame oil is not raw, so people can substitute that with the raw, but I'm using it specifically for the flavor, that really rich flavor. And so if you then take the other ingredients that are in the cooked version with the chicken, which is the cabbages and the shredded carrot and the scallions, and then you toss it all together, then it really has all the same flavors, plus it has all the same textures, you know, minus the chicken that's laying on top.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's really a fabulous dish, and what's great about Napa cabbage is it makes so much. And you
can
put it in the food processor and shred it up really quickly, and you have a giant bowl of this stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what, you know, people think raw foods have to be expensive. But you know what's so funny? The greens and the cabbages, they go so far, like kales and, you know, all that kind of stuff, chards. And, you know, buying that at the farmer's market, you can get like 3 huge heads of kale for like $3 organic usually at the farmer's market. And, you know, get one head of cabbage. That one head of cabbage will last you the whole week. It makes so much volume. And it's really cheap. A head of cabbage might be $1 or $1.50. And if we compare that to some processed food, it's really not expensive. It's actually cheaper. We get more. You know, people go out and they'll even, you know, buy whatever, a burger or fast food burger meal. You know, fast food's not really cheap. It's actually quite expensive, right? Because, like, for a burger and fries and a drink, I don't remember the last time I checked, but I think it's like $7, isn't it? It's not cheap, right?
Even like a soda. Double or triple edge expensive because we're paying for those foods in our tax dollars with subsidies and we don't realize it.
Yeah.
And then so we're also paying with our health, which ultimately
exactly.
is our health care. It's really expensive food.
It's very expensive. And then if we think about fast food, too, in the line going into fast food, it's like everything comes in a paper bag. It's all packaged inside the paper bag. Everything's in a container sealed by itself. And then there's napkins and plastic forks and knives. And, you know, it's using a lot of resources even that are wasted when you go and buy that kind of stuff. Plus, you're sitting in your car with your car running, wasting gas, polluting the air. So, yeah, for that same price of one fast food meal, you could get, you know, like several heads of greens and cabbage that will last you, all, you know, I don't know, depending. Like for me, that would last at least half of a week or maybe more, you know, for the price of just one meal.
So another one of the simple recipes that I love is the aioli mayonnaise.
Oh, yum.
It's really yummy, and it just will make
so
everything taste great. And where, you know, you really don't want to eat a regular egg-based mayonnaise because it's just all the bad fat and bad cholesterol and things that you don't need and could also poison you because, you know, if the egg somehow had E. coli or salmonella, that could spread very crazily. But yours is made simply from macadamia cashews and or pine nuts. Yum.
Yum. Yum, exactly.
Yeah, just water, garlic, and salt, and you blend all that up, and it's amazing.
Yeah, because aioli is basically a white cream, and it's really just flavored with garlic. And so we're making a white cream by blending up the nuts, the whiter nuts, and then adding a lot of garlic to it. So it has very much the same look, the same texture, and the same flavor. And you touched upon a food safety issue, which is another real great
reason for eating local seasonal whole foods is that if it's been picked by the local farmer just a few hours before, chances are they picked it or one of their family members picked it, put it into the truck, and it came to the farmer's market, as opposed to something that has been transported 1,500 miles from the farm gate to table. It's been handled so many times. There's so many touch points along the way. You know, it makes us wonder, like, how does E. coli get into spinach? It's because with all the factorization and this mass production of food that, you know, there's a lot of different touch points where a bacteria or virus or fungus or E. coli, that kind of stuff, can actually enter our food supply. So it's a food safety issue to eat food that has only been handled by humans in our local environment, so less hands have touched it.
You talk about a couple of foods that I actually have to say I haven't experienced before. So one of them, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, yacon?
Yacon. Yes, yacon is a root. It's a root, and it actually has, I think it has like a third of the calories of agave, and it has like half of the amount of sugars, even more so. It has a flavor of like a molasses. It's a darker, richer, it either comes in powder or in a syrup. And so I like to use the syrup to add a certain texture and a certain flavor, but I really love yacon syrup.
And where do you get that?
You can get it at... If there's a natural food store that caters to raw foods, it is maybe a little bit harder to find. But I actually have an online store called GoSuperLife.com. So I've coined this new term to sort of push this idea of living a life beyond one that's just good, but living a super life. So GoSuperLife.com, where I do provide a little bit of the harder to find ingredients, especially for areas where raw food isn't as prevalent as Southern California or Florida. Like in the middle of the country and things, to help people find some of those ingredients. But again, if people don't have the yacon syrup, in the beginning of the book I have different substitutions. If they don't have yacon syrup, they could just use molasses with agave, or they could use maple syrup, or they could use honey. So it's like, you know, whatever works and whatever people have available in their
environment. Yeah, I love to be able to pick and choose from a wide variety, but I also love trying something new. And so that was kind of fun to read about.
Yeah, it's fun. I like to use it in ice cream because the syrups, and especially the con syrup, it's very thick, and so it doesn't freeze. You put it in the freezer, and it just gets thicker, but it doesn't turn hard. And so it's a balance between something that doesn't freeze, like a syrup, and, you know, like a nut cream, which is blended nuts and water. And so by blending those in the right proportions, then you can create an ice cream that you freeze, but it doesn't get rock hard. It always stays scoopable out of the fridge. So that's sort of what that... Yeah, that's fun about the yacon syrup. But that works as well, again, with agave syrup or with honey as well.
So there's a couple of really crazy things that you make in here with the dehydrator, and I wanted to talk about some of those. I had a dehydrator for a while, and I had a lot of fun with it, but at some point I said, okay, I'm done with it, and I put it on eBay, and some lucky person got it. But if, you know, you enjoy experimenting, you can make some really fun things. Does require a little time and patience because dehydrating does take time, but you've got one recipe for coconut bacon.
Yes, coconut bacon. Oh my gosh, all you do is take Thai young baby coconuts, you scoop out the meat, which is already, you know, has like fat in it, you know, and you basically make a jerky. So you're marinating it with whatever you want. I like to marinate it with a little bit of namashoyu, again, unpasteurized raw soy sauce, or living soy sauce, and then I'll put a little bit of herbs and spices, a little bit of olive oil, and then I'll dehydrate that, and it becomes a jerky. So it's really like
bacon. And then
the
other one is eggplant bacon.
Yes, so a similar thing as well. Because if you think about bacon, what is the flavor of bacon? It's really just salt.
Salt and fat.
Yeah, salt and fat. So if you just sort of simulate the saltiness and then have something that has the texture of it. So the eggplant turns out more as a crisp bacon texture, whereas the coconut bacon is a little bit more of like a jerky texture, so it's softer.
Right.
So
it looks really fun.
Bacons. Yeah, it's fun. Dehydrators are fun, definitely. They're great for transitional.
There are some really incredible pictures in here, but I love that you make some crepes.
Oh, yeah, crepes. So basically the crepe is basically a fruit roll-up. So, you know, like the fruit roll-ups that we're all familiar with, they're very sticky. So in order to give a little bit more volume and make the fruit roll-ups less sticky, it's basically a banana fruit roll-up. I put in a little bit of cashews and a little bit of flax. And so it gives a little bit more volume and makes it less sticky, and then that makes the wrapper And then I blend cashews with lemon juice to make like a lemon cream, but you could fill it with anything, with fruit, with Nutella. I have a Nutella sauce, and that's what I'm, how I'm making the crepe. And then I like to dust it with ground up coconut, grated coconut, shredded coconut. I like to grind it into a powder and dust with that.
Mm. So we're getting close to the end of the show, and I always like to end on a sweet note. So at the back of the book, you have some really wonderful desserts. And raw ice, I've always loved raw ice cream. It's, a lot of them are very easy, just blending up frozen fruits or using nut creams. But there are some really phenomenal flavors. You've got a recipe in here with lucuma, which I'm not really familiar with.
Yeah, so lucuma is another one of those. It comes from South America, and it's a fruit. And so you can buy it in, like, a powdered form, and it's a natural sweetener. So in the raw food community, we use it as a fruit. It's a fruit, so it has a sweetness. But it really tastes like caramel. So when you mix that with the yacon syrup, oh, my gosh, it's like a caramel ice cream. Because somebody had requested a lucuma ice cream from me, and when I researched it online, because I've never had it, the flavor is basically cream and egg yolk. So I thought to myself,
wow.
Okay, how do I create the look of cream and egg yolk, but also the flavor? And so the yacon syrup is really rich and really heavy, and then the lucuma has like a real caramel, delicious flavor. So by blending those two, it does sort of create like an egg yolk flavor and consistency, and it's just a delicious. I don't like to think of egg yolks, but it has like a delicious caramel flavor. That's just, oh my gosh, it's so yummy.
Well, definitely have to try that.
Yeah, please do. It's so good. It's one of my favorite flavors, one of my favorite ice creams. We have lucuma at GoSuperLife.com, too. But, I mean, if you don't have lucuma and you want to use vanilla or you want to use chocolate or you want to use strawberries, you can do that, too.
Right. It's really a fun and easy thing to do and so good for you. And you can have ice cream all day long for breakfast.
Yeah. Yes.
Another really pretty picture and lovely dessert is your custard tartlet.
Oh my gosh, that is so easy. So like I was saying earlier, we just grind up nuts, which are dry, and then we bind it together with a sticky fruit, which in this case I like to use dates, but you can use raisins or you can use cranberries. And I start with about half, 1-to-1, and then I make a crust that you can press into beautiful little tartlet pans, individual ones, or you could just make one big tart. And then the cream is made by blending cashews with vanilla. If you'd like, you can add some coconut oil because it just adds another dimension of flavor and also a little, you know, heavier mouthfeel that's really delicious. But you could just make it by blending cashews with water. But I like to add vanilla. And then you make like a thick cream, and then you scoop it, you spoon it inside the crust, and then you just top it with sliced berries. And if you want, you could toss the berries in a little bit of agave syrup or honey just to give it that glaze and that additional level of sweetness, or you don't need to. And then you just top your tart, and then it's that easy.
Really, really yummy. Well, Annie, thank you so much. This has been a very delicious hour.
It's been lovely to talk with you. Thank you.
Yeah, God, well, I love talking about food, especially good food.
So do I.
So I hope you have a really great book tour.
Thank you.
And anyone that's interested, again, it's annifio.com, A-N-I-P-H-Y-O.com. So thank you, Annie.
Thank you. It's been lovely. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you for joining me today on It's All About Food. Next week, we're going to have another wonderful chef, Terry Hope Romeo, and she's going to be live in the studio with me, and I'm hoping to get some tasty treats. Even though you won't be able to taste them, I will do my best to describe them. So join me next week.